Let me read this morning's scripture from Psalm 23. Very familiar, but may we hear these words afresh. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray once again. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, may you bring comfort and assurance to us this day as we are with your people, as we are in your presence. We pray that your spirit would move amongst us, Lord, and also touch us within. Father, that our hearts would be drawn nearer to you. We're coming off the very busy season of the year. And Lord, as we gear up to go back to life as it is so familiar in its way it's lived, we ask you, God, that we might be made new by you. We pray that you would open our eyes to your grace. May we behold your glory, and may we be transformed by your Spirit this day. And through the year, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good afternoon. It's a blessing and a privilege to share God's word as I, you know, kind of pinch hit preach for Pastors Chris and Paul. And I hope you'll join me in continuing to pray for them as they're out of town, and may they be refreshed by the Lord as we enter into this new year. And I hope that today, too, can be an encouragement for us. And we're looking at a very familiar scripture in Psalm 23. You know, it's often read at memorial services, and rightly so. The words comfort us deeply in times of sadness and grief. And we often turn to this psalm when facing life's fears and uncertainties. Because the words are so familiar, we may overlook the very special and intimate way that God wants to speak to us and reveal himself to us. So I hope that we can kind of slow down and read these words and hear these words afresh. May God touch our hearts. You know, I think about when Patty and I go out to eat, I tend to eat my food very fast, although I can eat my food fast anywhere I go. And she always has to remind me to slow down. Take your time, enjoy the food, enjoy the moment, enjoy the company. So I hope that we can slow down and listen to this familiar psalm. May it be spiritual comfort food, as it's one of the most beloved scriptures in all of the Bible. And it's a description, as you know, of our Heavenly Father as our shepherd. And the psalmist invites us to know that in every season of life, our good and faithful shepherd cares for us. So we'll distill this message into these three points: the shepherd and his sheep. And so we'll talk about that relationship that the shepherd and the sheep have, and the shepherd's wonderful care for the sheep. And then secondly, the shepherd's care, which we'll get into some of the specific ways in which God, our shepherd, cares for us. And then thirdly, the shepherd, our host. And it's interesting that the imagery, the metaphor that shifts at these last couple verses from God as our shepherd to God as our host. But it just underscores the wonderful care that we receive from him. So the first point, the shepherd and the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, there's a new animation movie out. You maybe have heard of it. It's David. It's about King David. And our grandkids were in town, so we went to see it. And it was good and very well done. And the story spanned the life of David from his shepherd boy days up until the time he became a king to take Saul's place as the king. And the movie did a nice job conveying the Bible's description of young David, his care for his flock, his oversight and protection of them. So it was kind of timely, given that I knew I was going to be preaching this passage, to see it kind of visualized by those who created the film. You know, I'm struck that throughout the Bible, God's people are referred to as sheep. And there's good reason for that, as humans and sheep are very similar. Sheep are fearful. A predator can cause them to run towards even greater danger. Sheep can be stubborn. They are inclined to go their own way, wandering away from the shepherd's protective care. And they're vulnerable and helpless. If a sheep falls onto its back, it cannot get back up on its own. A sheep's anatomy is such that it cannot set itself upright. Being left attended on its back is literally a matter of life and death. And if not set back on its feet, the gases in its system kind of build up and actually can cause the sheep to die. And so it needs the shepherd to come alongside to help it get back up on its feet. And I think that's a very apt picture for us, isn't it? As we are like sheep, we are fearful. You know, consider the anxiety that we have over financial security or an uncertain future or what's going on in the world around us, the fear of whatever we might think of others thinking of us. You know, we too can be stubborn. And consider how we hold on to our opinion about something even when we realize that we're wrong, and we see that in relationships at home, at work, even at church. And we too are vulnerable and helpless. If you check this next slide, in life we have or will be knocked down, sometimes stuck on our backs literally. And it's especially at these times when it's good to know that the Lord is my shepherd. Our good and faithful shepherd always provides what we need. And that's the good news. To be under the care of the good shepherd, and we are completely dependent on him. And throughout the Bible, God describes himself as a shepherd. In the Old Testament, for example, Ezekiel 34, 11 and 12 say, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out its flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on the day of clouds and thick darkness." You know, such a beautiful picture and beautiful description of God, the watchful, faithful shepherd that he is, one who searches for us, who seeks us out. And you know, you can just kind of picture the shepherd out in the meadow scanning the landscape for his sheep, on the lookout for that sheep that has fallen on its back and is unable to right itself. The good shepherd comes to its rescue and helps it back on its feet, saves it from death, the death that it brought on by itself. You know, the New Testament also speaks of that shepherd-sheep imagery, 1 Peter 2:25. "For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." The picture of shepherding, how God shepherds his people, comes in its sharpest focus in Jesus. Jesus says of himself in John 10:11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." The shepherd who tended his sheep in the meadow had to be willing to lay down his life to protect and rescue his hapless, helpless sheep, willing to face predators that would attack and devour the flock, willing to travel through the rough and dangerous terrains to reach a wandering sheep. He had to be on the constant lookout for his vulnerable sheep. And we can see how that resonates with what Jesus said of himself in Matthew 9, how he looked at the crowds and had compassion, seeing that they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He saw our helplessness to get right before a holy heavenly Father, so he ultimately, willingly laid down his life for us when dying on the cross, suffering the punishment that was ours, so that we could have fellowship with the Almighty Holy God. And getting back to our text, note that after the Lord, declaring that the Lord is his shepherd, the psalmist says, I shall not want. It's not saying that God, our shepherd, gives us all we desire, but that we will not ever lack what we truly need. And through Jesus, our ultimate need to have relationship with God is completely fulfilled. And this is the deepest need of our lives. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Indeed, Jesus, our shepherd, cares for us. David continues relating specifics in this psalm of the shepherd's care for his sheep. So let's look more closely at the second point, the shepherd's care. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. For his name's sake, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And that's a lot. Let's highlight a few things here. You know, as mentioned, the psalm was written by David and was written before he became the beloved king of God's people, Israel. You know, he was a shepherd boy. You know, one of the highlights of the sermon series that our pastors just took us through was a kind of a comparison between Saul and David. And David, though certainly he wasn't perfect, displayed that he was indeed a man after God's own heart. And being the shepherd that he was, that was the lowliest task on the social hierarchy. And as the youngest in his family, that was what he had been assigned to do. But that's where God wanted him. Through shepherding sheep, David came to more deeply understand that God is his great shepherd, that God cares for his people, his sheep. Verses 2 and 3 tell us that David, the shepherd, who cares for his flock, makes them lie down in green pastures and leads them beside still waters. The shepherd made certain that his sheep were fed and had water. And this was most often a very difficult task. The lands where David cared for his flock were dry and barren. Finding lush pasture for grazing and fresh water for drinking was a daily challenge, one that sometimes required passing through rugged and steep terrain. The shepherd would search and lead his sheep to where they would feed on God's green earth. And isn't that the picture of what happens when we trust in Jesus? That God, through Jesus, will give us life and will have it more abundantly. Similarly, David tells us that the shepherd leads us besides still water. In David's day, there was mostly water was not readily available, and sheep being sheep couldn't find it on their own. Shepherds had to lead them to it. And I am reminded of Jesus' invitation, for whoever is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He speaks of a spiritual thirst, a longing for the peace and satisfaction in life. A thirst can only come through putting our faith, a satisfaction that can only come through putting our trust in Jesus. You know, life in this world is not as God intended it to be. It's broken, the result of the fall, sin, and rebellion of humanity. But we can be comforted in that regard, by what David writes in verse 3, that the shepherd restores my soul. To restore means to repair or renovate or return to a former condition, to return to what God had created us to be. One writer says, the soul is the deepest part of us, our spirit and innermost being. Since God is the one who made us, only He can restore us, because only He knows what we truly need to restore our souls. So here, too, you just get a sense of the tremendous care that God has for us, this longing to bring us back to fellowship with Him, which He intended us to share with Him. So we're not left to fight and fend for ourselves in this broken world. God, the Good Shepherd, leads us through the rugged and rough terrain of life on the path that leads back to Him. He is the giver of life, the restorer of our souls. In our sorrows and fears, even when in that valley of the shadow of death, verse 4 says that God is and will be with us in the valley of the shadow of death. And when there's a deeper meaning to the word shadow, it's kind of, to phrase it oddly maybe, it's the shadowiest of all shadows. In the darkest moments, the deepest moments of despair, God is present, and He will comfort us, and He will give us the courage to face whatever it is before us. Indeed, God is faithful and present in green pastures, the still waters, and along those paths of righteousness. He's also faithful and present when we can't see what's in front of us in those dark valleys. He invites us to share His company, His presence. The psalm emphasizes this as David now introduces us to this third point, the shepherd as host. Let me read that again. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In these last couple of verses, David describes God using a different metaphor, different imagery. Rather than the Lord as shepherd, God is our host, one who invites us to dine with Him. We are honored guests He has invited to His table, to the intimacy of a shared meal in a home. It's a picture of the ultimate communion with God Himself. I'm sure many of you during the holidays hosted family and friends, and you know a good host wants to share and be sure that his or her guests are taken care of while in their house, that they help themselves to the spread of food, that they have a comfortable place to sit, that they enjoy the company of others. And while we naturally think that we should be the ones serving God, doing good works for Him, this host metaphor instead pictures God serving us. He prepares the table. He provides the physical and spiritual nourishment we need. The overflowing cup pictures the grace and generosity with which He does this. And as for the anointing with oil, it was a courtesy in David's time, conveying welcome for honored guests. That's the kind of love and care that God, our shepherd host, wants us to know that we have when we trust Him. He welcomes us. He said He didn't come to be served, but to rather serve. And His serving is evident throughout His ministry, very notably when He washed the disciples' feet and ultimately when laying down His life on the cross. To sit at someone's table was a sign that one was welcome into the company of another. God, through Jesus, welcomes us to fellowship with Him. And Psalm 23 underscores this, in that we share fellowship with God in the presence of my enemies, David says. And this reminds us that the world is broken, that in this life enemies abound. And they may not be enemies that are shooting arrows and spears or have guns and aggression. Our enemies might be fear, guilt, shame, anger, and ultimately death. In the midst of all this, God has prepared a table at which we can know Him in friendship as Holy God, as our Good Shepherd. As verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Follow me obviously describes some kind of pursuit. And although enemies pursue us to inflict harm, Psalm 23 tells us that God pursues us with goodness and mercy, that we might rest assured in His green pastures, beside those stilled waters, sitting with Him at His generous table. It's a gift of grace that He would do this for us, the clueless sheep that we are, as those who would sin and rebel against Him. Isaiah 53:6 gives an apt description of us, but also of God's solution for us. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Our hearts are prone to turn away from the Good Shepherd, to reject those pastures and waters and protections that he wants to generously give us. But for our sin and rebellion, our iniquity, we are deserving of eternal punishment. But Jesus suffered that punishment in our place when he died on the cross, and he has made it possible for us to have fellowship with God at his table and to live in his house forever. Maybe one more encouragement. The mention of valley in this psalm might bring to mind our church's vision statement, loving God, loving people, loving the valleys. These valleys in which God has situated us are the mission field that we're called to share the gospel. These valleys and the world beyond are in the shadow of death. And we're called to let our fellow sheep who have yet to know Jesus, to let them know that there is a shepherd who cares for them. We all face physical and spiritual death, but God has laid our iniquity on Jesus. The Good Shepherd became a sheep himself, a lamb who was the perfect sacrifice for us. On the cross, he suffered God's judgment and wrath in our place. In doing so, he not only walked through the valley of shadow of death, he suffered death itself so that we would not have to suffer eternal death as we deserve. And for Jesus, death was not permanent as he resurrected and ascended into heaven. And while in this life, his spirit today continues shepherding and leading us. Jesus, our host, prepares a table in his presence where we will live for him and we'll live with him all the days of our lives till eternity. You know, I'd like to close by singing a song, one that was written by a friend whose name was Wes Terasaki. I think maybe only a couple people here know that person. There have been many songs written about Psalm 23, but this is not one of those songs. But I think it fits because of what is said today about how God cares for us in every season of our life. The song is titled, Evermore. You know, we won't be having communion today, but maybe you can take this time to reflect on your Heavenly Father, on Jesus, our gracious host, who has set a table for us at which we can enjoy his presence, an enjoyment, a sitting that is made possible through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus.